just 5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm your host, Brady Hull. And we got Jade's on the other side of the bulletproof glass sporting the UNC Bears polo today. When do you go to school, man? It's August 4th already. Can you believe that? You're going to be a freshman in college at the University of Northern Colorado coming up very soon. When do you check in? What's that look like for you?
Move-in's the 17th. Classes start the 22nd. So I've got less than 2 weeks.
Are you doing the dorm thing? Because you live in Greeley, so you could get away from not doing the dorm thing, right?
Yeah, but I'm doing the dorm thing.
You want to get out of the house a little bit.
Yeah, I love my family and all, but...
But it's time. Well, and I didn't have that choice. I had to stay in the dorms because I lived outside of the... What is it? You have to be in the city or whatever? Like, you have to go... I don't remember the rules exactly.
It's actually pretty big now. I think it's like 40-mile radius.
Yeah, I still would have been out of that, but... which would, you know, that would have been a long journey for me every day to go to school. With me, it was crazy, dude. So dorms, you got your dorm mate figured out, or your roommate or whatever, or suite mate. Are we doing that stuff too, where you share like the same sink and everything?
Yeah, I'll have a roommate and I'll have a couple suite mates. So there'll be four of us.
So the suite mate thing, is it still just like you're conjoined by a sink in the middle of the rooms?
So
that's how ours was, but that dorm has been destroyed and replaced now. The new one is where I was, but it was the old one at the time.
Yeah, the new one, it's so my friend and I, we have a room. There's another room with two people. Mm-hmm. We have a living room and a
bathroom. That's cool. Which dorm are you staying in?
South.
Oh.
South and North are the same, though.
What's the one, the new one, that's off right off of 11th? You see it, it's beautiful right off of 11th. Because that, whatever that was, is where I was. And that was the oldest one, which is why they destroyed it and put up a new one.
Yeah, that's two holes right there. That's North and South.
Okay,
that's
so you'll be in there. Cool.
Yep.
I was in there, and it was, dude, I didn't like my dorm experience. So I didn't have a roommate the first 2 months. The dude, like, transferred, and it was weird. I didn't have a roommate, but I had a suite mate. And I'll never forget that. This is college, man, and it's gross. Some of the stuff's gross. So you got to set that right now. If you're like a clean person, I had a group on the other side. They were drinking stuff, right? And they would stay up at all hours. And I was never really a huge partier. And they just go into the suite, man. Stuff would end up in that sink, man. That would make that sink not work anymore, if you know what I mean. It was just awful. So I was miserable the first 2 months. And then I finally got to get the gumption up and just go, dudes, we're sharing the sink here. Stop doing what you're doing. So you got to set set that table fast, man. Set that precedent that we're not doing crap here.
The parameters need to be made
You
got to
do it early.
It.
We're all
got
sharing
it.
The sink. We're all sharing stuff. If you're a disgusting pig of a human being, get better, because you're no longer at mommy and daddy's house. You got to be better.
Yeah,
so you got to do that early.
It'll be ran like a high school varsity and JV team. If you aren't good enough to be on varsity, your JV, and you're actually just
kick them out. Kick them out. That's what you got to do, man.
Perfect.
So you got your classes and all stuff ready to go, ready to rock and roll.
Yep, it's gonna be a fun one. I have. I think I have 5 classes, 15 credit hours.
That's a lot, right? Isn't the minimum 12 or is it 15?
I don't know. 15 is for full time.
There you go. I have no idea. Well, I'm wishing you the best of luck. I know you'll be producing for a little bit with me here in the next week or so, and then Angel's going to take over, and then we'll just keep in touch, my friend. It's going to be fun.
Oh, for sure. I'm so excited for college, but yeah, I'm glad to still be doing something around here.
Well, there's always something going on, and I got to tell you, the Rockies lose 9-1 last night. But can I admit this on the air? I actually enjoyed watching the Padres just go crazy last night, 9-1. And I mean, everybody's talking about Soto, but how about Drury with the grand slam? Just all these new additions coming in, and they just, here's the Rockies for you guys to tune up a little bit. It looked easy for them last night. And I was like, are the Padres going to be this good? Or are the Rockies just phoning it in for the rest of the season? I mean, they're not going anywhere. But, I mean, are they even trying anymore? It was awful, but great at the same time. It was exciting.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the Padres are that good. But forget about all the new guys. What Manny Machado did last night was ridiculous.
Well, he gets thrown out at second. Was it early in the game he gets thrown out at second?
It was like middle.
And then he ends up, that doesn't matter. They looked like they were having a blast, didn't they?
They'd
you know, hit a foul ball or, you know, swing and miss, and they would like jump up and down like, oh, so close. Like the emotions the Padres had, my guess is it looked like when you play softball on Friday nights is you're just having fun. And if you miss, you miss. But we're going for yard here. They looked like they were having a blast of a time last night.
Well, and how could you not? I mean, I feel like that's honestly kind of motivating to have some new blood in the clubhouse. It's a nice change of pace.
Why am I thinking, who's the Padres closer? Did he go?
Hader?
No, not the new one. Well, one of their bullpen guys who's kind of a tweener who can start for them. And I'm blanking out. He was 22 and Soto got his number. Now Soto got 22. And
I'm trying to think of who it is.
I can't think of who it is. I'm going to have to Google his. I'm going to have to go to their depth chart here. I liked the story because it does go into like how these guys are figuring out, you know, who's going to get what number and everything. So, it was Martinez. It was Nick Martinez. And Jade's is on the phone right now. First Advantage Hotline is 970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. So Soto's like, what's the chances I can get my number 22? And I guess Martinez jokingly is like, a boat? So not going to make a boat happen, but Soto can afford it. He's going to hook him up with a really nice watch. And Martinez was like, dude, that's great. I'll take the watch. And if we can go compete and have a chance to win the World Series, then it doesn't matter. Plus, I'm sporting a new watch. I mean, it's just the Padres. I'll admit, it was kind of exciting last night. And then you got to look at the Rockies on this side of it. Is Bud Black long for this Rockies world? I mean, Chad Kuhl goes 5 innings, but he allowed 9 runs. Most pitchers, if you're playing for something, you're going to pull that guy, but the Rockies' bullpen is depleted. It just seemed like Bud Black was like, there's no way in hell we're winning this game. Padres got all their guys in. They're getting more guys coming in. We are fading fast here. We didn't make any moves. This is the same group we're going night in, night out. This is who we're stuck with here. Padres felt like they were walking on water last night. Bud Black's just like, whatever. I mean, it's totally. And I like Bud Black, but it reminded me of Waterboy and Coach Klein. They're getting smoked at halftime, and he's looking around the players, and he's like, does anybody got any good ideas? Does anybody have any ideas here? Do you think Bud Black was like that? You've seen Waterboy, haven't you? Coach Klein's looking around, and he's like, what do you guys got for me? The quarterback, he pretends to fake. He thinks about faking. Was that Bud Black's strategy last night? Because he just looked like, can we get this thing done, please? I know you guys are excited about your potential World Series run now and giving the Dodgers a run for their money, but we want to go home. We don't want to be in San Diego anymore. We still have to come. We have to do another one of these today. So he just looked like he was out of answers last night.
Yeah, and talk about a morale kill. I mean, getting beat that bad, but the person I'm most sorry for is Chad Kuhl for being left in that game.
Why
for so
are you
long.
Leaving? I mean, I know the bullpen is like, we don't even know these guys now, but he didn't have it. It wasn't there. And if this were a regular game, any other game this season, Chad Kuhl would have been pulled in the third, right? I mean, he gave up 5 in the first, so it was bad. And then you give up, you know, or well, I guess it was okay in the third, didn't give up anything in the third, but you could just feel it. And you just left Chad Kuhl in to finish that fifth inning. I mean, pull him out before the fifth even ends. And he gave up 3 more. He gave up another run in the fourth. I mean, that was tough. And we know how pitchers are. Some nights you don't have it. Chad Kuhl didn't have it last night.
Yeah, and well, the Padres are going to go on a tear. It's what happens. I mean, look at the Dodgers when they got Trey Turner and Max Scherzer last year. They went on a tear. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with their new acquisitions. But the thing is that you signed a closer. The Rockies extended a closer that they're never going to be able to use. So,
well, that's the thing. It's like, that's neat that you guys got Daniel Bart. I like him. He's probably your best player. But it doesn't matter if you don't have the starting pitching. We've said it for years. Nolan Arenado's fantastic. DJ LeMahieu, fantastic. All these players, Trevor Story, none of it matters if you're starting pitching. At least three guys are good, and then one or two guys is kind of an average pitcher that can be great on certain nights. None of it matters if you can have the best third baseman in the league, which they did at one point. You can have one of the best shortstops in the league. You can have one of the best first baseman, second baseman in the league, best outfield. It doesn't matter if the starting pitching isn't there, which is why I thought, you know, people wanted to see the Rockies get a little crazy in the trade deadline and just load it up for another pitcher. But then that changes the philosophy at Coors Field, doesn't it? The way you're going to win games is not pitching. You're going to have to out-hit them. The Rockies aren't doing that anymore. I mean, there was a time, was it last year? Last year, actually, their starting pitching, I would say, was the strength of the team. 2-3 years ago, it was like, yeah, we have to out-hit teams. That's just the only way we're going to win games. Is this a crazy idea, Jades? Do you change your philosophy if you're the Rockies? Do you start saying, we're not going to spend as much, and it's too late now because Chris Bryant's such, but we're not going to spend as much on offense. We're going to go all in and spend a lot of money on three stud pitchers and then maybe one or two pretty good pitchers, and then hopefully we can out-pitch guys. Because we can sit here and say all until we're blue in the face that Coors, you have to build your team around offense at Coors Field because that's where you're playing half your games, but it ain't working. So do you see, like, does Bill Schmidt look at this someday player to be named later and change the philosophy up, or is that ridiculous? Because it's not working, whatever they're doing.
Stop paying for a mediocre team like what you're doing right now. We're not going to go anywhere. Put some pennies in the piggy bank, and in 2 years when you have all these prospects coming up, you'll have some spending money for this pitching staff.
So was Chris Bryant a mistake?
I don't know that he was a mistake necessarily. I mean, you have to have a big name to bring in the fans. And you have a new GM. All new GMs make a big signing. But it's just part of it.
So let me ask you this. You say you have to have a big name to bring in the fans. Do you think that is still true with Coors Field? Because we know that people love Coors Field, that they will go there because it's a fun environment. So, you know, there are certain teams that you can say, hey, we need to have a draw here. Without that draw, like if Nikola Jokic was off of the Nuggets roster today and Jamal Murray was now the best player, the draw would still be exciting for Jamal, but it would go way down. If you're the Rockies, should you be worried about that anymore?
I mean, to an extent, you still need a stud. I mean, obviously, Coors Field is one of the most beautiful ballparks, and it's got some of the best attractions built into the stadium, but you still need a product on the... I mean, look at how packed Petco Park was last night.
Oh, my
for
gosh.
Soto's inaugural
that
game.
That place was... And where are they this weekend? Are they in L.A. or are they in San Diego?
I believe they're in L.A., but don't quote me.
Let me find out, because that place, that's going to be nuts, isn't it?
I mean, that's... You can't tell me that that's literally not just an all-star game.
It's what it feels like.
The Padres versus Dodgers is just an all-star game.
It's what it feels like. I mean, this division, and that's what's more frustrating. I don't expect the Rockies to be competitive with those two teams anytime soon, but I don't think that that's the expectation for the Rockies either. If you're not, you always plan to win your division. So the Broncos have to build their team up to beat Patrick Mahomes, Herbie Hancock, and Derek Carr, Justin Herbert. That's what you should be planning for. Not necessarily to beat the Bengals or the Bills. You win your division. Good chance you're going. Well, you are going to the playoffs. Win your division, you're going to the playoffs. Win your division. Win most of your division games. There's a good chance. Hey, you got a shot at being the best team in the AFC. So Denver has to look at that and say, all right, defensively, we can be good. We have to slow down Patrick a little bit. We have to slow down Herbie. But at some point, we got to start matching what Mahomes is doing. We have to be able to go blow for blow with them once in a while. And that's why you get Russell Wilson, and that's why you get a quarterback to come in and really compete in this division. Well, the Rockies, it just happens that they have the best, it's the best division in baseball. But there's like no plan to compete with those guys. Zero plan. How do you compete with the Dodgers and the Padres? You got to throw pitchers at them. You got to throw stud pitchers at them.
Well, and it's a tough situation because obviously, I mean, I could sit here and talk about the market all day. We could go into should MLB have a salary cap to balance the playing field, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, though, you're right. You have to be willing to compete with these teams one way or another. And if you can't be the best, if you can't have the best talent on the field, then you got to be the smartest. And that's the only way that you're going to be compete.
And they made a movie about it with Brad Pitt, right? Moneyball. The Oakland A's found ways to be competitive, even though they didn't have the money. Small market baseball. They found ways to be competitive and get into the playoffs a reasonable amount of time, correct?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And the A's were the inaugural, like, they were the first team to really start using that tactic, I guess. But the current day model of it is through the Tampa Bay Rays. They have a very low payroll, but they're always in the
playoffs. So it's possible.
It's
possible that a small market team can compete.
Oh, 100%.
And maybe not a shoe-in to compete for the World Series every year, but Rockies fans could care less about that right now. You just want to see some playoff opportunity. You've had five. And that's the thing. Like, when you look at the Rockies, you're a baseball guy. What is their plan? Like, you look at what the Padres just did. We have everything. You know, we have all of these weapons now. And again, you might not look, they don't really have a necessary plan. It's load up great pitchers. Load up great hitters. We got the money. Let's go. You don't need a plan when you got money. But what's the Rockies' blueprint? What is it?
I couldn't tell you. I'm about as lost with them as I am with the Brewers. The Brewers just traded away their closer. Yeah, they have Devin Williams, and they have a great rotation, but they just DFA'd Dinelson Lamet, who I get is injury-prone, but he's a good arm and one that you can put in the bullpen. They've tried that before, but... We don't need to get into the Brewers situation, but the Rockies, I can't tell you what their plan is because I don't see a trajectory. There's nowhere that they're just staying level. I mean, they kept all their guys. How can you see a trajectory?
Last year, I actually thought, okay, the plan is you have three pitchers that you're going to build around. That's going to be Armand Marquez, Kyle Freeland, and John Gray. And I know I talk about John Gray a lot, but I still feel like that was a loss. So you got three guys that you say, we really want to build around these guys, make them as good as we possibly can, and then hopefully we can find one or two guys, like a Chad Kuhl, that can be average, but on certain nights, he can be a little bit above average. That plan is, okay, now it's Freeland and Marquez, and, you know, they've been up and down this year. Freeland, so far, since the All-Star break, has been the only good thing about the Rockies. He's been on a tear. In fact, two of their three wins came off of Kyle Freeland having a really special night. So, I mean, what's the plan here? And aside from Dick Monfort giving up his ownership, which not going to happen. I mean, it's easier for John Elway to step down and say somebody else should come in here and be the GM. Dick Monfort, this is his legacy. Everything else he's done right, you know, that stadium, the ballpark is amazing, what they've added to down there, around downtown, and what he does in the community, all those things are great, but he's not gonna move on from this team, man. And it's not gonna happen. So I mean, this is where it is, and it's last night. Okay, is Bud Black the manager for the Rockies next year? Last night I would have said, for the first time since he's been with the Rockies, that was the first time I said, wow. He doesn't seem like he's into this thing. And I'm not blaming him for that loss. The Rockies are, yeah, I think Tanner said, Tanner and Brian were talking about it on Good Morning NoCo this morning. You know, Tanner said, yeah, maybe so, but it's going to be more or less a mutual parting of ways. Where Bud Black just looks at the situation and goes, I can't win here. I mean, I'm not, what do you want me to do? Last night was a what do you want me to do type of night. And that's where it is frustrating. I mean, like, should baseball have a salary cap? We'll do the good, the bad, the ugly in the next segment. Should baseball have a salary cap? I mean, the NFL does, and this is why the NFL is king. Did you pick the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl last year?
No. And there's also more competitive teams in the NFL.
But on any given year, you could flip the script. Now, there's just bad organizations that just cannot seem to get it right. Cleveland's one of those. They do silly things like give a quarterback a boatload of money that's actually in the middle of 24 sexual assault or whatever allegations.
Dolphins apparently as well.
There's certain teams that just shoot themselves in the foot. But the NFL's model allows you not just to the draft. We talk about the draft in major leagues, and the draft is really hard to build with. You have to have the right guys build the farm system, building your teams up. So the NFL, I mean, there are opportunities where you can get better through the draft, but also teams like the Chiefs can't just re-sign every single great player on that roster. They can't keep Mahomes, but also keep Tyrann Mathieu and Tyreek Hill. You can't keep all of those guys. That's why Belichick, you know, and the Patriots model, what they did was so impressive because they continued to keep their stud quarterback at a decent price and then build around him with average to good players. Major League Baseball, look what the Padres just did. They were a good team. And money is no object. It's no big deal to them. So they can just go out and get better. And listen, last night was fun. And I'll agree that this race now, I'm curious. I'm actually going to watch this whole series. It is in L.A., by the way. I'm going to watch this series. I'm excited about this series. Hell, I think the Padres might make a run at the division. I think they're 11 games back, 10, and that might be too much. But based on what I know, it's the Rockies. But that ballpark was nuts, man. If they can give them the juice they need to go on a tear here, plus they got another one today against the Rockies. So
I think the Dodgers have the division under their
belt.
They might
be too far ahead, just too far ahead.
Yeah.
If it was 5 games, would you maybe go? Yeah.
Oh, I'd go with San Diego.
Yeah, but I think it was 12 before the week started. I don't know if they gained any ground. But you do have to look at that. Okay, we'll take a short break here. I'll get to the good, the bad, the ugly on the other side. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available. Should the Broncos go sign Odell Beckham Jr.? Still a free agent. Still sitting out there. Should they go look? The original question I posted, Jades, was should the Broncos go after a wide receiver free agent with the hopes of him being the number two guy? And now I've just changed it because Odell comes in. If Odell's on the Broncos roster right now, where is he in the depth chart? Is he two? Is he over Judy? Probably, right? He's certainly not been the same guy from injuries and all that since he was with the Giants, but he made a difference for the Rams last year. He did. He made a big impact for the Rams. So should the Broncos consider it? Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. 29 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, is coming up next. It's The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Tonight at 5, hear all about the Platte Valley Broncos as 13 Days, 13 Teams continues. Coverage is presented by Alliance Irrigation on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Way overdue here. You know, people are like, are you going to be able to do 3 hours on this? Well, oh my gosh, dude, we could do 2 hours in our sleep. 3 hours from now on, the whole show powered by PDC Energy, 11 to 2, busting right through it. I'm behind in the clock already. Jades, we need to get to it, my man. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, I know it was against the Rockies, but I'm sorry. I'm actually kind of excited to see what the Padres can do, given maybe the Dodgers a run for their money or whatever. I'm going to go with the good. The Padres loaded up. I don't know if it's great for baseball, but it's great for this current season to see how this race turns out. The Padres were on fire.
Brandon Drury, his first debut in a Padres uniform, coming over from the Cincinnati Reds. Drury to left field. Connor Joe going back. Brandon Drury now plays. It's Slam Diego.
As Manny skies one to deep left field, Connor Joe is at the wall. This one, gotta go. Manny Machado with his 19th of the year.
And Jake Cronenworth coming up. High fly ball, deep right field. He's gonna go to the Crone zone at the wall. Gone into the Crone zone. Line to right and a base hit for Soto. Here's the first hit in the Padres uniform for Juan Soto.
Oh my goodness. Everybody was going, man. The current, you know, the new guys, all coming in. It was a party last night in San Diego. My goodness. The bad for me is, well, the way I look at this for the NFL. So the NFL is now, we kind of thought this was going to happen. They are appealing the Deshaun Watson suspension deal. Like, they thought, you know, hey, this probably should have been a year, maybe more. But now the NFL is appealing the ruling that Deshaun Watson of Cleveland Browns should be suspended just 6 games. Everything we're hearing is that they want a year. The owners do, if not more, you know, indefinite. So now Roger Goodell is the one who has to he can hear it. He can appoint somebody to hear it. He has the option to consider the appeal himself according to the collective bargaining agreement. This is going to get ugly. It's a lose-lose situation because if you do suspend him for more than 6 games, which the NFLPA said they would already go along with, if you now go against that and appeal to get a year, the NFLPA is going to fight for their guy. It's not necessarily that they're saying he's in the right or whatever. Their job is to represent the player. So they will do what they can to represent the player. My goodness. The ugly is the fact that we've had the Rockies in the ugly all week, Jades. In our Good, the Bad, the Ugly segment, the Rockies have been in there every single day. And it's just not getting any better. It's been a rough go, man. You know, they play the Padres today. Do you think they even... what does Bud Black do? Kyle Freeland's pitching today, though, isn't he? So... I don't know, man. It's over. It's over. We got Broncos camp rolling. We've got CSU starts their practice tomorrow. I'll be out there in the morning, bright and early. Jay Norvell, thank you. It works out perfectly for my schedule. I think that was for me. 7 a.m. Going to be out at near Canvas Stadium tomorrow. Cannot wait. I'm ready to see what this team is made of. It's going to be a blast, man. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Do want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor for bringing us our game beer of the week. This one is from Tommy Knocker Brewing, Peach Dream Fruited Sour. You can pick up selections from Tommy Knocker or any of your favorite adult beverages. They're open until 10 p.m. So they open up at 9, close at 10. They got the drive-through there as well. Weekend is getting closer, folks. So think about On the Rocks Liquor. We got the Hall of Fame game tonight. We start NFL, baby. The first preseason game. We got the Raiders and the Jags going at it tonight. Trevor Lawrence isn't playing. I don't think Derek Carr is going to play, is he? I mean, I can't imagine that he would. I'm pumped for it, though.
Who you got, Jags or Raiders?
Not that it matters, but the Raiders.
That's who I'm saying.
I mean, if you're a bad team, although the Jags might be better this year. They might be a little bit better now that they don't have the Urban Meyer fiasco to deal with anymore. So I don't know. Who cares? I care because it's football's on. Then after next weekend, when we see the Broncos in their first preseason game, then I start going, all right, let's just get there. Let's get to the regular season. Speaking of the regular season, do the Broncos need more help at the wide receiver position? And I'm not talking depth, because they signed a guy for the depth chart, whatever. Are you confident, now that Tim Patrick is done for the year, that Jerry Jeudy and or KJ Hamler can step up enough to be the number two guy on this roster? Because Cortland Sutton's one. I think that was always the case, even though, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter as much for maybe what the Broncos were going to do. But as much as I talked about this yesterday, that Denver, you know, Russell Wilson always kind of really looks at his number ones and number twos. Not as much on the tight ends, not as much as that slot receiver or the number two receiver. He's primarily going to two guys. That's kind of been the way he's done things for quite some time. And, you know, do you look at that situation and say, can Jeudy be that guy? Or should they look at a guy like Odell Beckham Jr.? He's a free agent. Are you shocked that he's still a free agent? Look what he did in the playoffs last year, just the playoffs. After the Rams got him, and I think anybody would tell you that he was a big part to what they did. In the NFC Championship game against, no, let's just go all the way back, against the Cardinals, remember they had to reschedule that game and they played it. Or was that the first time they did? They played it on a Monday, right? That was kind of weird. They beat the Cardinals 34-11. Odell had four receptions for 54 yards and a touchdown. Pretty solid game, right? He was targeted four times, four catches, 54 yards, one touchdown. Against Tampa Bay, they win 30-27. He had six receptions for 69 yards. Against San Francisco in the NFC Championship, he had nine receptions for 113 yards. And then in the Super Bowl against Cincy, nothing crazy, but he still had a touchdown. He had two receptions for 52 yards and a touchdown. The guy can still produce. Can he produce? The question would be, can he produce at a number two level? Because I don't need him to come in and bolster depth. I don't need to spend that much if I'm just worried about the depth chart. Can Odell Beckham Jr. still be a number two guy on a depth chart for a team like the Broncos? And I think if, you know, I think maybe not all year. Maybe, I mean, how confident are you that Jerry Jeudy can get this thing right? That's the question. I mean, I'm excited to see what KJ Hamler can do, but I think if we're looking at the situation and banking on Hamler to bounce back from the injury and be a big part of this offense, that's a scary assumption heading into the season. So should Denver, that's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, should Denver go after Odell? 55% of the hooligans are saying yes. Go after Odell Beckham Jr. Jades, when I did the offensive and defensive power rankings in the AFC West, I had the Raiders or the Broncos at third, in front of the Chiefs. That was with Tim Patrick. Still might lean to the Broncos because of Cortland Sutton, but now you got to wonder if the Broncos now suddenly, you lose Tim Patrick, that's a big loss. Are they now do they now have the worst position group as far as receivers in the AFC West? Certainly an argument. So does Odell Beckham Jr. change that? He doesn't get them over the Chargers and the Raiders, but he keeps them where they are. Or is Odell too much drama? That's another consideration, too, is do you want to do that right now with a relatively young team other than Russell Wilson as you're trying to gel and get everybody on Wilson's same page? Is Odell one of those guys that you would go after? Go vote it at thewholeshow.com. It's just I do think Albert O and, you know, Greg Dulcich, like I'm excited to see what the tight ends can do, but I'm tempering that excitement. Until I see Russell Wilson consistently utilize a tight end, I'm not thinking that that's going, I'm not going to guarantee you that, oh, well, the tight ends will just have to pick up their game. In Russell's history, it's shown that he's not really likely to go to the tight end on a regular basis. Maybe that changes with Nathaniel Hackett's offense. Well, 11:49 the time. Quick break coming up. I'll wrap up hour number one. Got Kevin Lytle in the second hour. We'll talk a little bit about CSU getting set to start tomorrow. Excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. So don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. I got a suggestion for you. How about try Cable's Pub and Grill for lunch right now? You guys know all about them. They've been locally owned and operated since 1972, man. So that means that they've done something right over the years. And today is Thursday, Fiesta Thursday, smothered burritos for $10.99 and house margaritas for just $4. Again, that's today's special at Cable's Pub and Grill. I'm yet to have a bad meal there, man. I'm a burger kind of guy, but I don't really order spaghetti at restaurants very often. I don't know why, but I do at Cable's. They also have the all-you-can-eat spaghetti going on Mondays. Can't beat that. Cable's Pub and Grill. Tell them what we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Should the Broncos go after Odell Beckham Jr.? Probably one of the biggest free agent names right now that's still available. I'm kind of shocked that he's available still. And he's still a good receiver. And as I outlined, he was pretty significant to the Rams down the stretch, especially in the playoffs. Can still get you touchdowns. He's going to have games where he can, you know, be a catch machine. Then do you want to upset the apple cart, though? What does that do to Jerry Jeudy's mindset? You know, Jeudy already kind of knew he coming into this season as the third option at receiver, at least. Great separation skills, as we've talked about. Has some drops issues. Maybe you can put that in your back pocket and not worry about that as much if he can get open like that. But if you bring somebody else in here to compete, to re-compete for number two, then do you totally screw up his psyche? And I know, Brady, you can't worry about that, but sometimes you do. Some players, you do worry about that. We've talked about some quarterbacks that excel early if they're told they're the starter from day one, where some quarterbacks excel if they're in a quarterback competition. That's just the way it is. Sometimes competition can make players better. Sometimes it can screw players up. I'd say it's fair to, when the Broncos drafted Jay Cutler to put pressure on Jake Plummer struggled. The year before, Plummer was great. The Broncos go 13-3. They go to the AFC Championship. They lose to the Steelers. Then the next year, Mike Shanahan drafts Jay Cutler. And that was kind of, that marked the end of the career, so to speak, for Jake Plummer. So some players can handle it. You have to think about that, too. If Jerry Jeudy truly is a guy that you think that George, even though George Payton didn't draft him, if Jerry Jeudy's a guy they think they can grow with and really build around, then the answer is probably no. You don't want to. You can build on the depth, but you don't go for a receiver that's going to compete for number two. Maybe the pressure is just all on Jerry Jeudy. New segment coming up, the Lunch Rush. I hit the top five sports stories of the day. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.